we had planned for tonight. It's one I did quickly put together yesterday, I believe, for another time. But Psalm 71, we do not know the author of the psalm. We do see from reading the psalm that it was a time of difficulty, personal difficulty for the psalmist. And notice in verse 2, he says, "Deliver me in thy righteousness." Again, deliver shows that there's a problem. "Cause me to escape." There's another problem. And then in verse 4, he says again, "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel men." So he had three oppositions there, but probably referring to the same group, but the wicked, the unrighteous, and the cruel. In verse 10, "For mine enemies," again another problem, "speak against me, they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together." Verse 11, here's what the enemies were saying, and those who were laying in wait for his soul: "God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him. There is none to deliver him." Verse 13, he mentions the adversaries to my soul. And in verse 24, he mentions at the latter part of the verse, those that seek my hurt. So the psalmist was in a situation of difficulty, surrounded no doubt by enemies, those who lied in wait for his soul. The psalmist makes reference to his youth in verse 5. "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." And then in verse 17, "Thou hast taught me from my youth." And he mentions old age, which of course is where he is now. In verse 9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age." And then notice verse 17. "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." And then notice verse 18. "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not." So he mentions youth. He mentions old age, which he was probably approaching. And then he begins to look at his life, and as he does, he sees the Lord in it all. And reading through the psalm, you see there's a tone of emotion. This is seen in the word "O." It's used 11 times throughout the psalm. 11 times, "O." So I want to speak on from youth to old age. The best way to, and we preached on this not too long ago, old age, growing old, and we need to grow old. We need to grow spiritually old. And the best way to enter old age is to live right in youth. That's the best way to do it. So we want to look at the psalmist as he views his life. And we want to look at it from youth to old age. Everything we mention here should be from youth to old age. Notice how the psalmist views the Lord. He has a certain view of the Lord, and we all do. We all have this view of God, how we see God. And it's important that we see Him properly in our youth, and then that grows into old age. In verse 3, he says, "Thou art my rock." That's how he viewed God. Thou art my rock. What is the rock of your life? You say, well, the rock of my life is my spouse. Well, you're in trouble then. Or the rock of my life is so-and-so. What are you going to do when they're gone? Thou, the Lord, art my rock. Rock speaks of strength. From youth, the Lord needs to be your strength. And then that needs to continue on into old age. When you think of a rock, you think of stability. We're not talking about a little stone. You think of stability. You think of durability. Rock is something that endures. Thou art my rock. That needs to be true in youth. That needs to carry over into old age. And then he says, and my fortress. A fortress was a place of safety. But it was more than that. It's a place of provision. It's a place of armor. It is a place where protection is provided. It's a place of provision. So it suggests a battle. It suggests a conflict. In youth, there is going to be battles. There's going to be conflicts. And you need a fortress. And God needs to be that fortress. Thou art my fortress. And then that needs to carry over into old age. In other words, thou art my rock, thou art my fortress, and this is to be so from youth to old age. In verse 5, he says, thou art my hope. Thou art my hope. Youth has a tendency to depend on their own strength. And on their own provision, or mom and dad's provision nowadays. Thou art my hope, thou art my assurance. They tend to place their hope in the things of the world. This needs to be so in our youth. Thou art my hope. God is our assurance. And then as you live that, that carries over into old age. He goes on in verse 5 and says, thou art my trust. A trust would, again, kind of explain the rock as well. Somebody you can lean on. Someone you can depend upon. Thou art my trust. In your youth, who do you lean upon? Who do you trust? Needs to be the Lord. And then that needs to grow into old age. Notice verse 7. He says, Thou art my strong refuge. Thou art my strong refuge. A refuge, like a fortress, is a place of protection. But a refuge is a place of availability. It's some place that you can get to. If you can't get to it, it's not much of a refuge. It is a place of excess in time of storm. A refuge suggests a storm. A refuge suggests difficulty and need. And there are the difficulties and needs of youth, and you need a refuge. And there are the difficulties and needs of old age, and you need a refuge. So this is to be so from youth to old age. Thou art my rock, Thou art my fortress, Thou art my hope, Thou art my trust, Thou art my strong refuge. And this is so from youth to old age. Notice how he views God in verse 19. Latter part of the verse. O God, who is like unto thee. O God, who is like unto thee. He's saying there's nothing like God. God's incomparable. No one like God. That needs to be realized in youth. We need to grow in that knowledge, grow in that assurance, and it is to carry over into old age. So he has these views of the Lord. And notice they all relate to him. Thou art my rock. Thou art my fortress. Thou art my hope. Thou art my trust. Thou art my strong refuge. There was a personal connection between him and the Lord. And that needs to be so from youth to old age. Don't make the mistake as a young child of God to think that you have plenty of time to serve God and that somewhere down the road you'll just push a button, flip a switch, and there it is. You'll be spiritual and you'll live for God. It doesn't work that way. Never has, never will. Need to live these things in youth. And they need to carry over into old age. He views the Lord in his life, how God has worked in his life. As we get older, and the older we get, the more tendency we have to do this, we review, and that's good. It's good to review. We review our life. And how we need to review it is how the Lord has worked in our life. Providence, that is God working through circumstances and time. It's God working His plan. Providence is an amazing thing. Many times when we're in the circumstances, all we see is a bunch of dots. And none of them seem to connect sometimes. They're just random dots. That's never so. There are no random dots. Things happen for a purpose. Things happen with a purpose. And as you begin to look back on the dots, you can see all sorts of lines connecting the dots. And it's beautiful. And it's wonderful. And in doing so, you realize what God has done in your life. Even when perhaps you had no interest in God, you can look back and see how God was working and how God connects those dots. That's what Romans 8:28 means, all things work together. There's nothing random. We might not be able to connect them all in this life, but I guarantee you they are connected. God connects them. But as you look back, you can begin to see. Many times when things happen, we ask, why? Why did this happen, and why did it have to happen now? Of all times for this to happen, it couldn't have been a worse time. That's foolish. That's foolish thinking. God's connecting the dots, and everything is right on time. Notice verse 3. He says, "Thou hast given commandment." You picture a king upon his throne, giving commands, giving orders. That's God. He speaks of God as sovereign. And he says, "Thou hast given commandment to save me." As he looked back on his life, he saw the many times that God saved him, that God delivered him. And he pictured God as giving the order, "Save him." And it was done. And that's how God has worked in our life. That's true from youth all the way through to old age, if you live that long. God gives command to save us. God gives command to provide our needs. God gives command to bring us comfort. God gives command to bring us rest. It's a sovereign God ruling in our life. And this is so from youth to old age. We can look back. We that are saved, you can look back on your unsaved life. And I do often, and see how God worked in my unsaved life. That God prevented me from doing things that I would have done. But God prevented me from doing it. That's God giving His commandment, don't let Him do that, to circumstances or whatever. And it was done. Thou hast given commandment to save me. Notice also verse 6. By thee, again he's reviewing his life, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Now, we can't remember the womb, and neither could the psalmist. But he's got faith that it goes all the way back. And he says, God has held me up all this time. You look back on some things and you think, how did we ever get through that? God. And things happen and you wonder sometimes, am I going to get through this? And you do. God is holding us up over and over in our life. From youth to old age. In verse 17, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. Thou hast taught me. God is always teaching. He's always teaching. We need to always be learning. We need to always be learning from God. Thou hast taught me from my youth. You know who a wise person is when they get old? Again, old age doesn't make you wise. I know people that are old that are not wise at all. Old age isn't what makes you wise. What makes you wise in old age is that you've learned through youth. You've learned through life. And now you're able to make some application of those lessons. People can be wise in temporal things. There's also spiritual wisdom. And the best way to be spiritually wise in our old age is to learn what God teaches us in our youth. It's one thing to be young and foolish. It's a whole different story to be old and foolish. It's a lot worse. That means you've wasted a lot of time. Notice verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. Psalmist looks back and he realizes that God had done great things in his life. Great things. And so it is, if we look back, God has done great things in our youth. And that carries on into our old age. God is always working. God is always doing great things. Then notice verse 20. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles. So he traces his trials to God, shalt quicken me again. So he's been quickened before. Shall quicken me again. He says, God has revived me in the past. God has brought life to my soul in the past. Therefore, I have assurance that he'll do it again. Thou shalt quicken me again. And then notice what it says. And shalt bring me up again. Now, those two statements imply a couple different things. Thou shalt quicken me again shows that we had gotten in a very low state, a state of death, and we were revived. God has done that over and over and over again. God has brought us up. We have fallen many times. And we would have remained there had not God brought us up. And he says, shall bring me up again. You don't just fall once. You don't just backslide once. You don't just get in a terrible spiritual state one time. It's innumerable times. And God in His grace and His mercy comes again and again and revives us and lifts us up from our youth to our old age. Then notice some things that the psalmist prays for. In verse 2, he says, deliver me in thy righteousness. We need to be delivered from a lot of things. Number one, we need to be delivered from ourselves. Deliver me. Cause me to escape. A lot of things we need to escape. A lot of things we do escape by God's grace. By God's mercy. But notice, deliver me, cause me. He's praying for God to do a work. He's not looking to man. He's asking God to do a work. Deliver me. Cause me. Notice something else he desires. Incline thine ear unto me. Incline thine ear unto me. That is, bend down and listen. It's God stooping to listen to us. We do not merit God listening to us. But we ought to always pray, and you see it throughout the Psalms. Hear me, Lord. We ought to plead with God to hear us. And then he says, and save me. But notice, deliver me, cause me, incline, save. What's he praying? He's praying for God to do something. That's what he's praying. He's praying for God to work. We need to learn to do that in our youth. Pray for God to work. You don't have to work things out. You pray to God that He'll work. Because you'll make a mess of it. And that's what he's praying. For God to do a work. Verse 3. Again, he's praying. Be thou my strong habitation. He's asking God to be something toward him. A habitation is a place where you dwell. You see, a refuge is a place where you flee to occasionally. But a habitation, that's more permanent. That's more consistent. Be thou my strong habitation. Be thou my dwelling place. Be thou the place where I live. Then he explains it a little more. Whereunto my habitation I may continually resort. Your habitation, your house, it's a place where you continually resort. And this is what the psalmist is asking God to be. So he's not looking for something that's just occasional. He's looking for a way of life that involves God. Be thou my strong habitation. Verse 4. Deliver me. There it is again. O my God, out of the hand of the wicked. When you're in the hand of somebody, it appears you're in their control. He says, deliver me from the control of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Again, the sooner we learn that lesson, God is the one who can deliver. We need to learn that in our youth, and we need to plead that in our youth. And then that needs to carry on into our old age as well. In verse 8, again he's praying. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. All day long, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and thy honor, thy glory. Notice verse 9. cast me not off. Seems to me that very plea implies that he feels like he deserves to be cast off. And whether you realize it or not, that is true of every one of us. Even in our best state, we're talking about a holy God. Even in our most spiritual time, we have no merit to plead. And we deserve to be cast off. This is a plea for mercy. Cast me not off. He says here in the time of old age. Perhaps he's starting to feel useless. A lot of people in old age do feel that way. They shouldn't. We hope we don't make them feel that way. But cast me not off. That's what a lot of people do. They cast off the elderly. And then he says, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Not if my strength faileth, but when. My strength, your strength, will fail. His will not. Ours will. Our strength will prove to be insufficient. And we will try to do things in our own strength and we make a mess of it. And again, he says, forsake me not. Again, the implication is that he feels that perhaps he should be forsaken. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. You make the same mistake or you do the same wrong toward an individual over and over and over and over again. Eventually, that individual is going to forsake you. They're not going to trust you in that area, whatever it might be. But how many times we fail with God? Every day. Well, I don't feel like I fail every day. Well, you do. You're not perfect, are you? That's our standard. Perfection. I fail to come short of that every day. I fail every day. Even when we do our very best, better than we've ever done before, we still haven't reached the mark. And the prayer here is, forsake me not. Again, it's a prayer of mercy. In verse 12, O God, be not far from me. Be not far from me. Cause me to feel thy presence, is what he's praying. We ought to always be praying for God's presence. We need to start that in our youth, and that needs to continue through old age. Always asking God to go with us. Lord, go with me. You may have been there a million times. Lord, go with me. Go with me. Cause me to feel thy nearness. And he goes on in verse 12, he says, make haste for my help. So here's when he says, make haste, he's feeling the urgency of the situation. And he asks God for help. In the time of urgency, you need God's help. You need God's help. And many times, all you need to say is help. Many times it's all you can say. Lord, help. I need your help. We need to learn to pray that in our youth, and we need to carry it on in old age. In verse 18, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Again, he just prays, forsake me not. And we'll look at a little bit more of that verse here in a minute. So that's his prayer. He prays in youth. He carries on into old age. Notice his testimony. He has a testimony concerning God. Acknowledge God in your youth. Pay attention to God's working in your youth, and you'll have a testimony in your old age. Verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. That's his testimony. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Thou hast taught me, and I have declared hitherto. Up to this point in my life, I have declared thy wondrous works. He has a testimony. Don't be ashamed of God. Don't be ashamed to tell someone else about God. Don't be intimidated by those who do not want to hear about God. Your God is greater than whatever way they're intimidating you. Testify of God. Testify of God in your youth, so much so that it's a pattern all the way through old age. There aren't too many youth that are testifying of God. They're afraid they're going to be an outcast. As you get older, you don't care as much about those things. But we need that needs to start in youth. In verse 18, again he prays, O God, forsake me not. And then notice the reason for this, until I have showed, I have manifested thy strength. He has a desire to manifest God, a desire to manifest the Lord's strength unto this generation. God had put him amongst the people, and it is his desire to manifest God amongst that people. Show thy strength unto this generation. The people that are in your life are not an accident. God has put them there for you to declare God unto them, for you to manifest God unto them, and thy power. He says, help me, Lord, to show thy strength and thy power. He desires. He has been a testimony, and he desires to continue to be so. He has a desire to praise God. Verse 6, he says, the latter part of the verse, my praise shall be continually of thee. My praise shall be continually of thee. We need to continually praise God. Not just when we think God has done something good. Because everything God does is good. Praise God for the trials. Praise God for the difficulties. Verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Praise ought to begin in youth, and it ought to grow more and more. Verse 22, I will also praise thee. Unto thee will I sing. Verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. So he has a desire to praise God. He has a desire to testify of God. He says in verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness. My tongue shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. I need to speak up for God. I need to speak up for God. We need to do that in our youth, and that needs to carry on to our old age. Again, God puts a variety of people in our lives. He does not put the exact same people in your life as He does mine. There's people in my life that aren't in yours and vice versa. There are people I can talk to that you can't talk to because you don't have access to them and vice versa. That's what the greatest evangelistic program is, if every single child of God talked to the people in their world. That the power of that would be wonderful. Each person talks to the people in thy world, in their world. I shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. There's people today, they'll say, I've known so-and-so for 20 years. Are they saved? I don't know. Never came up. Really? Never came up. I find that hard to believe. Let's just be honest. I never brought it up. There was opportunities. There were opportunities, but they were not taken. There were opportunities to speak for God, and they were not taken. And then lastly, notice his desire to go forth in the Lord's strength. He says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And then he mentions testimony again. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. But I will go, regardless of whatever else is going on, I will go in the strength of the Lord. You do not have to go in your own strength. I will go in the force, in the might, in the vigor of the Lord. I will go in the stamina, in the fullness, in the firmness of the Lord. I will go in the strength of the Lord. We have no idea what we're going to have to face, but we should know this. We've gotten this far by God's strength. And if we're going to go further, it will also be in the Lord's strength. From youth to old age. From youth to old age. God help us to live this 71st. psalm. Brother Jim, would you come and lead us in prayer?